We are right now in a season of Lent, and this season of Lent is something the whole Christian church is a part of, all people around the whole world. And it began on Ash Wednesday, and it goes through these 40 days and Sundays, all through the Easter celebration. And on our way to the Easter celebration, we're looking at light shining in the darkness. And we're remembering that the darkness does not overcome it. On our way to the celebrating the resurrection, we will celebrate Palm Sunday, that day when Jesus went into Jerusalem with palms waving and people celebrating. We'll celebrate that day by coming here and filling this place with beautiful music at 9:30 and 11. And we'll have Holy Week services and a devotion in the morning each day of Holy Week. This is a rich season of Lent. In this season of Lent, today we're talking about the cross. And as we do, we look around. You look at the windows here. And now if I bring this up, some of you won't be able to help but count how many crosses. If you count all the crosses in the windows, and if you were to count all the crosses in the altar rail, and then even the hidden ones, the ones we don't mean to hide, but just the way the stands were built for the little choir speakers, there are crosses there. And then on all our hymnals, there are crosses. This room is thick with crosses. They're all over the place. And right up in front, there is the cross. We can't hide that cross. I was at a United Methodist camp once, and somebody wanted to rent the camp. And they said, before we'll rent the camp, and they had a good amount of money to rent the camp, they said, could you please just hide all your crosses? And the camp director, I mean, aside, throwing all offense and everything aside, he just looked and it's impossible. We can't do it. We have them everywhere. They're all over the place. Could we even hide that one? There it is. So there we have the cross in front of us. But what's so ironic about the cross, because we see it, and we see it so many places, and it gives us comfort, but the irony of the cross is it was not designed for our comfort. It wasn't designed to give us peace, and yet here we come and we find comfort in it. God has given us, each of us, amazing minds, and we can do such wonders. There are some in our midst who are good with numbers. There are some in our midst who are good with music and have beautiful voices. Some who understand the word tenor, and then there's the rest of us. And have it explained to us that if you're a bass, if you're a tenor, you sing now, and the rest of us are just saying, I'll just mumble on through and see how it goes. But we have such talent, and God has given us these talents, and we can use these talents for amazing things, and we do. There are some inventive minds who have made it possible for me to talk so quietly, and you can hear me because of microphone and amplification. But as good as our inventions can be, we also have the ability to make bad things. And there was a time when we don't know who did it, we don't know if it was one person or a group of people, but there was a time in the history of humankind when someone designed the cross, and it was designed for evil. It was designed for bad. It was designed for fear. And when you consider what the cross was made for, it was made for humiliation. It was made to strike fear into people, to end a movement. Years ago, when my mom died, and for each of us, we have different important people in our lives. I have not just my mom, thankfully. My dad was important to me, my uncle. You know, the people who are in charge of the world until we show up. And there was a week when my mom died, and when that happens in your life, everything is shaky and everything's rough. And I remember that week on Sunday, I was greeting people on their way out of church, and this wonderful woman named Ginny, she did not say one thing to me. She took my hand, and into my hand, she took a little cross, and she looked me in the eye, and she closed my hand around it. And it was such a gift. On a hard week in my life, on a terrible week in my life, this person came and did not say one word, but she put a cross in my palm and blessed me. It gave me comfort. It gives me comfort. But the irony in it is the first cross was not meant for comfort. We know that. We know that the cross was meant for harm, for all who followed Jesus, for all who saw him bless, for all who saw him heal, for all who believed in him. What that cross was meant to do was to strike fear and make them scatter. What the cross was meant to do was it was meant to humiliate anyone on it. And it wasn't only meant to humiliate, it was meant to kill. And we don't even have to guess so far. All those things that the cross was meant to do, it did. It made the apostles, it made the disciples, it made the followers scatter. It struck fear in them, and they ran away. We know all these things. But through Lent, we are not going to pretend that darkness holds the day, because we know better. We know that any bit of darkness in the world, when the light shines in the darkness does not overcome it. We know that in the very beginning, of all that there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through Him came life. And when darkness would come on this earth, when inventive minds that could make such good would bring evil, would bring hardship, would bring peril, that was invented to strike fear in us. And here we are. We find comfort in it. We hold it, and we're blessed by it. And why? Because God took a hold of it. Because there's resurrection. Through Lent, through these days, in the history of the church, it's become tradition for some to give things up in Lent. And we're not going to take a quiz or a poll to see who here has. But some people give up meat for Lent. I'm giving up broccoli and Brussels sprouts myself. Some people give up chocolate. Some people give up coffee for Lent. And you can tell. Some people take something on for Lent. None of it's meant to be a punishing exercise. All of it is meant to do whatever it takes to get closer to God. If you've done nothing else for Lent, I invite you to try something. To try a prayer at a different time of day, an additional time. I invite you to pray for somebody else in your life. I invite you to open yourself up and just see who God puts in your heart to pray. And I invite you to make that prayer. But there's this other thing in Lent where we're asked to not say Alleluia. It's called diminishing the hallelujahs, to pretend, to hold off for a little. Let's not celebrate yet until Easter. But the thing is, I can't do that. I can't pretend that we don't have resurrection. You know, there's this time, this special time. Some of you were here and some were other places, but we put on ashes on Ash Wednesday. If you've ever had that put on, it's a very special time. And we're supposed to say, and we do say, repent and believe the good news, or repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I try so hard to be somber through that thing, and I can't do it. I can't do it because here we are in this holy place called sanctuary, and we're praying to God who hears us. We're praying to God who listens for us. We're praying to God who loves us and wants good for us. We're praying to God who is able and willing to take the very worst thing invented in the world and turn it into a blessing. God not only can take the worst thing and turn it into blessing, God chooses to. So there is nothing. There is not one diagnosis in your life that will keep you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There is not one mistake in your life, or even there are some actions when we admit it, they're not mistakes, they're out and out wrongs that we've done. There is not one of those that will keep us from the love of Christ Jesus. The love of God in Christ Jesus. There is not even death will keep us from the love of God. Because of God's love, the cross, or a diagnosis, or a mistake, nothing is the end of us. And because of God's love, the very worst things in the world turn into blessings for us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot, will not, has not overcome it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.